joining us. Richard, how are you, sir?
John, I'm doing great, and I guess the ionosphere must have gotten in the way of the phone call.
That's okay. Not a problem at all. We fully understand. We're good. There's always, as I said a moment ago, there's always plenty to talk about, so that is not an issue at all. So what we're going to talk about today is one is a much greater number than we think, and it's easy to be discouraged and feel like we can't do anything. And I want to add something to that, Richard, especially when we now layer on the advent of social media and everything we see being done out there, you know, quote unquote, by friends, family, even people we don't know, but we see what they've done. There's this mentality that none of us are good enough.
Well, that's true. And that kind of reminds me of the old thing in high school where you'd have one boy bragging about his prowess with the girls, and it made all the other boys feel bad. But most of the time, the boy wasn't as successful as he talked about.
Exactly. Very true.
So
we can't do it all. Let's face it. We cannot do it all. So go through some of these things today. We can't be discouraged either. We've got to feel, how should I say this, Richard? We do need to, at least I believe, and I think you're with me on this, we do need to feel a sense of accomplishment daily. I believe that's a God-given, intrinsic value that God has given humans, period, whether you're Christians or not, by the way, Richard. I just think that's something that we as humans have that, by the way, I don't think I don't know how all animals think, but to me, we are the only species on the planet that have that.
Well, that's true, and I think the reason I wanted to talk about this is because our culture, the people around us, it's very discouraging. And if we have ambitions and dreams and things of that nature, it's easy to get beat down and told that you can't do something. And so I often want to provide encouragement to people because we can do more than we think we can. And even if we don't attain our highest dreams, we'll attain more than if we succumb and quit and just let the culture and people beat us down into mediocrity.
And I'm trying to not be, you know, super political about this, although that's what I do pretty much daily, Richard. And what I will say is from, you know, traveling to even just one country south of us, and you look at literally it's oppressive. It's oppressive because of their government, and I don't care what anybody says, it is. You can see it when you go there. It's oppressive because of the cartels that, frankly, Richard, run everything, including the government. It's a very oppressive area, and frankly, why a lot of them want to come up and come across the border. Let's face it. That's why that's happening, you know, even as we speak right now. And the point being, when you've got people so oppressed where they don't feel like they can do anything, they don't.
Well, absolutely, and that's something that the government can get in the way, or it can inspire people. And you played the clip from President Reagan, and he was probably the greatest president we had as far as inspiring people to chase their dreams and go for what they wanted to be. And we hear none of that out of the current administration, and it's much more like what I see and what I've experienced in Europe, where you go there, and it's just a common mediocrity from everyone.
Right.
And there's no incentive for anyone to do anything. And if you look at the glory of Europe, it's all hundreds of years in the past when people had individual opportunities to do art or build great buildings or build companies or do different things. And they have been discouraged from that. And we need to not let that happen to this country, because that's the American spirit that built this great country.
Agree. And I like what you said a moment ago, too, that right now, current administration, in fact, it's quite the opposite. We are being told over and over again that, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. In fact, you know, we've now got this. I was watching some things last night. Tucker Carlson was interviewing some individuals, and they were talking about how the next big crisis that's going to shut things down and keep people sheltered in place is climate. And the climate crisis, quote unquote. And Richard, I look at that and think that is the opposite of what you and I are talking about right now.
Well, absolutely. And I think one of the good things that's come out of COVID is people will not stand by and be herded into their homes like they were before. I think there'll be more people push back quicker, ask questions, and stand in the way of this because of what we've seen the last 15 months.
And I agree with what you just said there. I think it's going to be a tougher thing for them to do, although they are drunk on power, and I do believe that if they think they can do it, they most certainly will. All right, so let's go through and talk about some of this as to how do we get folks so they can feel more empowered to actually go out, do things, even if they can't do it the way that they see their famous superstar or even, you know, so-and-so on Facebook or YouTube or wherever. How do they get started even if they know they're not going to do it as well as somebody else?
Well, as we've talked about before, and I like to repeat this, none of us can do everything, but we can all do one more thing. And so we shouldn't let everything drown us from doing one thing. And then we must act. We can't wait for everything we need to be successful. And Teddy Roosevelt in Cuba with the Rough Riders was such a great example. They didn't have everything they need, and he told them, do what you can with what you've got where you're at. And that's what we have to do in life as well, because we'll never have everything we need to achieve the success we want.
No, in fact, you and I both know, Richard, as far as I'm concerned, you have to make those things that you need to achieve, you know, said success. And that's where I think I have such a big issue right now with all of what's going on with, you know, labeling you, I, Charlie, others that are white, middle-aged males. You know, we are now the bad guy because of our skin color and the fact that we were born on American soil. But I can tell you right now, and I know you as well, that you worked for every single thing you've got and earned. I have as well. Nobody handed me anything on a silver platter, any way, shape, or form. You know, did I get a leg up by being born in the United States of America? Yes, Richard, I did. And I'm thankful God allowed me to be born here. And frankly, I'm glad I was born into the family I was born in, and I'm not going to apologize for being white either. Point being, we make out of life what we put into it, right?
Well, absolutely. You're 100% correct there. And one of the things I like to do and encourage other people to do as well, and we have hundreds of examples in Navigating Life's Journey, is I like to look for people that have been successful and learn from their experiences, because we can learn from our own experiences. But if we can learn from other experiences of those people, it can help us accelerate much faster. And I don't care if someone's white, black, or polka dotted. If they've achieved something successful, I want to know what they did.
Yeah, me too.
And if I can get one little idea off of each of those people, it will help me in what I want to do.
Boy. I, you and I are the same. I'm exactly that way. That's why you read, watch, listen, even if it's just little excerpts of what somebody that's been successful has done. You know, to me, Richard, that's what all this is about. I'm still, and I know I've said this to you before, I'm going to keep saying it. I am still baffled, and I've said this publicly on air, and no one has taken me up on this yet, Richard. We've got lots of young people running around the country. A lot of them know you and I on either a basis because they listen to us or they watch you or they've seen you on you know, they've listened to you speak or they've seen you on your website, whatever the case may be. And we all know those individuals. I do as well. And I'm still baffled, Richard, by the fact that, you know, I don't consider myself to be a huge success by any stretch of the imagination, but I've accomplished some things in life that I feel like I could help others do. It's why I coach other businesses on how they can improve their bottom line and do different things in the business to, you know, honestly, at the end of the day, make the owner more profitable and have more freedom in his business or her business, which is the way it should be in the first place. I'm still baffled, though, Richard, at the fact that these young people will not tap into and say, Richard, John, can I have, you know, a half an hour of your time once a month or an hour of your time once a month? I'll take you out for coffee. I'll take you out to lunch. I just want to pick your brain and learn from you. I've yet to have anybody ever say that, Richard.
Well, absolutely, and the way I express that is, if hindsight's 20/20 and experience is the best teacher, why do the people that have neither not look to the people that have both for help?
You know what? And I have no answers to that. I just don't know. I don't know.
And we've had successes, but I'll guarantee you, I've had many failures.
Me too.
You probably have had a few yourself.
Oh, yes.
And I can share, and I've learned more from those failures, because that's one thing. We punish people who fail. And yes, there's an accountability, but all of us are going to fail sooner or later. And we should take that and learn from it. And if we look at some of the most successful people in the history of our country, they failed many times themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So none of us can be perfect, and holding people to a standard of perfection will only discourage people, because no one can attain that.
I've always said this, and I continue to, and will always, I'll go to the grave saying this, Richard. The last perfect person to live on this earth died on the cross some 2,000 plus years ago that we owe our lives to, at least I do mine. And the reality is since then, there's been no one like that. We are all the same in that area.
Well, absolutely. And I was talking to my late father one time about that. And I said, yes, there was only one perfect man. And he said, yeah, and they nailed him to a cross.
Right. Right. Great. Yeah, no, he's exactly right. All right, give us an example out of Navigating Life's Journey. Desmond Doss, talk about him.
Well, this is such a great story, and the movie Hacksaw Ridge reintroduced Desmond Doss to at least a couple of generations, because I was not familiar with him, even though he'd been celebrated previously. And he went in the Army because he wanted to serve in World War II, but because of his faith, he did not even want to touch a rifle. So he was branded a coward, and his own troops demeaned him and everything. But he did not let that stop him from serving as a medic. And some of you will know the story that he saved 75 men on Okinawa from certain death and got the Medal of Honor. And the point that I want to make about that is we can contribute differently than people expect us to, because most people that we know look at us in one way, and they don't see our potential or other ways that we can contribute to efforts. And it's important for us to contribute in the way we want to, even if it's outside the pigeonhole people have placed us.
That's why the book is so great, folks. If you haven't read it, I would encourage you to buy it, Navigating Life's Journey. You can find that at Amazon or anywhere else you want to. Just Google that book title. You'll find it. It's really easy. Richard, it's been a few weeks since we talked. I always enjoy it. I learn something every time I talk to you and get another dose of encouragement, if you would, and I hope our listeners do as well. And, you know, frankly, regardless, as long as I get it, I'm good to go, and I enjoy our conversations.
Well, likewise, and it's my pleasure, and we hope the audience enjoys it as well, and we say God bless America.
Amen. Richard, talk to you next week, sir. Have a good week.
Take care, John.
All right, sir. We appreciate it. Again, Richard Battle, what a great guy. And, yes, he is somebody, and I as well. Not everything is rosy red. I have had my number of failures over the years, and I could get into all the details of those, which I will not do at the moment. But trust me, folks, I know what it's like to fail. I know what it's like to be on the verge of bankruptcy. I know what it's like to not be able to pay the bills. I know what it's like to owe the IRS a bunch of money and have to pay all that back and not be able to be forgiven of any of that. I can go down the list, folks. I know what those things are like. I know what it's like to be, you know, divorced. I know what it's like to have, you know, failures in those areas. And I will tell you that, like Richard just said a moment ago, those are the things that we learn from if we do it correctly, apply ourselves, and we can overcome those things. And that's what I believe this country was built on. And I always enjoy talking to Richard because he just gives great encouragement along those lines. RoofMax is up next. By the way, somebody else that, I don't know whether he knows this or not, but somebody that encourages me